What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Marius, Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Muammar Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macro Aggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. What's happening, everybody? How are you? Are you listening to this at the gym while you work out? I hope so. Maybe you're driving. I don't know. That might not be the best idea because we're going to get into some frustrating things. But I'll tell you what, I certainly do appreciate the support that I receive from you guys. It's amazing. International listeners, it's fascinating to me. I love it. Australia, you guys are huge out there. UK, some of my favorite, of course, Canada. The show was number one in Canada last week, which is probably a testament to the Grimerica guys, you know, that came on. Obviously, they're beloved in Canada and the US for that matter. But thank you all for checking out the show, for being loyal, for spreading it, because this is how it grows, is that you get out there, you spread the word around and hopefully get people interested in this. And I just certainly do appreciate it a whole lot. And our sponsors have been involved and they're great. You know, I'm looking at things to try to make sense for us, for me, myself, for our listeners. And so that's why I brought in some of the health companies. C60 Purple Power has been a newer sponsor. Great response from them. I mean, people have been buying this stuff like crazy, which I'm really pleased about. It is designed by Ken Schwartz, who is the founder and the chief science officer. It's a carbon 60 atom that forms what looks like a hollow soccer ball. They call it a free radical sponge. It gets in your body and it fixes all the cells that are damaged and then resets itself and keeps going. So it's remarkable. They won the Nobel Prize for discovering this stuff in the 80s. It's got to be worth something, right? I mean, there's got to be something there to it. I've been taking it every day since Ken sent me the bottle. I've been giving it to my pets. They've had a remarkable recovery from it. I'm so thankful to Ken for that because, you know, I just feel like if I hadn't met him and he didn't send this over, I might be having a different, you know, conversation about my sweet cat, you know. So I'm hopeful that is going to continue. So if you're interested in checking it out, just read up about it. You know, like anything, don't take my word for it. Do your research, do some homework, go to c60purplepower.com, read about it. If you see something in there and you like it, it works for you, buy it. Use the promo code MACRO. Save yourself some money. You're going to get free shipping inside the United States. And this is from a small company that has very likewise thinking, you know. And I will extend that as well to Tim James at Chemical Free Body, another supplement company that is helping me. I've been taking their products for a while and I'm having great results with it. I'm not kidding. I'm getting shredded from this stuff. It's really good. I feel like Tim has like a contest, to see if he can you know, see what he can do, see what his products will do for me. They've had a really great response so far. I mean, my body is responding well to it. It's all chemical free. Obviously, the name implies that. No GMOs, no, you know, no gluten, no, none of the bad stuff, all the good stuff. Take a look at chemicalfreebody.com. Same thing. Use the promo code MACRO. Save yourself on the purchase. You'll get free shipping in the continental United States. You'll be helping to support a small business. We like that. We like that idea. I love the idea of small businesses. Of course, you know, one of the things we're going to talk about in this episode is how right we were. You know how the people are like, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. Well, you know, really, I don't hate to say I told you so. And neither should you. We've been right about a lot of this stuff. We've been screaming it about COVID, about the lockdowns, about the authoritarianism that we're seeing. We've been talking about it. We've been yelling about it. We've been making as much noise as we can. And what do we get? Oh, you're a conspiracy theorist. Oh, you're an anti-science. You're an anti-vaxxer. You're a anarchist. You're the problem. If it wasn't for you, we'd already be out of our houses by now. If you guys would wear your masks and social distance, then we wouldn't be in this situation. No, you're wrong. You're wrong about all of that. You're wrong about us not being in this situation if we were all social distancing. And let me ask you this. If social distancing was the thing that saved us from all of this, why did the CDC just cut the guidelines from 6 feet to 3 feet for kids in school? Answer me that. If the 6 foot rule is such an important rule because, you know, the virus can't go 6 feet, then why are we cutting it to 3 feet? I mean, can we just admit that we're making this up? Not we, them. The guidelines have always been changing. We said it was bullshit from the start. We were right. The line forms right here for apologies. I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting for everyone to get in that line and apologize to me. I'll be waiting for everyone to get in that line and apologize to me about the vaccine situation too. We said they were dangerous. We said they were rushed to market. We said they didn't have FDA approval. Not that means much to me, but you know, they don't. We said that they didn't clear stage 3 human trials. We said they haven't isolated the virus. This is what we've been saying. We've said that the PCR tests don't work when you ramp them up to too many cycles. Guess what? We were right. We were right about the PCR test. We said the masks don't work. It's garbage. Not only do they not work, they're bad for you. What's the CDC come out and say? 1.32% increase benefit that the masks have. I don't even believe that. 6 feet, social distancing. Cut down to 3 feet. A clear admission that it's all bullshit and they're making it up. A clear admission. Because if there was any science-y behind that, it would stay 6 feet. So how can you tell that they're making this up? Tell you what, go to an airport and wait to get on your plane. And notice how every other seat in the lobby has a big sticker on it that says, you know, please don't sit here for social distancing. And then they put you on a single file line, scan your ticket, march you down the jetway, put you on a plane where you are sitting 4 inches away from the person on your right and left if you're in the middle seat. And we're supposed to pretend that this is okay? I mean, can we be consistent here? If 6 feet for social distancing is so important, why are we putting people on planes when they're 4 inches away from each other? I mean, explain that. The same planes that have, if you look up where you're going to adjust your airflow or hit the call button, You know what else is up there? Two little signs that are not illuminated. A smoking section and a non-smoking section. Remember that bullshit? And they would put the blind there, like the curtain, like the way they do, they separate first class from the other. And it would be like, oh, that section in there is smoking. But you in the back, it's non-smoking. It's like, you don't think that the smoke gives it, it goes right through that curtain or right around it or right above it. I mean, the whole thing is preposterous. You point that out, you're anti-science. How dare you criticize the smokers? You must be anti-science. What are we doing? What are we pretending? I'm saving the world. I've got three masks on. I've got my Purell, so I'm spraying my hands every 5 minutes. Not good for you. And then I'm going to get on an airplane, and I'm going to sit basically in the lap of some stranger. And I'm going to pretend like my 32-cent mask that was sent over from China with the microscopic worms in it is going to protect me from the guy next to me who may or may not have coronavirus. And if I get that virus, I have a 99.97% chance of survival. And I feel like I'm losing my mind. I feel like I'm trying to inject logic and reason into an upside down world. I think we all do. I mean, hell, if you're listening to this, you are already somebody that is well on your way to either understanding this world a lot better or being institutionalized. It's too close to call, let's face it, at this point. But it's not just the corona situation. Obviously, there's so much to pick apart there. But, you know, I've had conversations with people about obscure topics where I've given them my thoughts on it years ago. Controversial or maybe not controversial so much as non-traditional thoughts on it. And you get the response, what? Huh? Are you sure? No, that doesn't sound right, man. I don't know. I don't know about that, man. I mean, maybe, but I don't know about that is the response I get for a lot of things. When I tell people close to me, turn off CNN. They're a propaganda outfit that does nothing but lie to you and has a massive coordinated agenda to try and get you to feel one way or another that they're run by Jeff Zucker, who should rightly be sweeping up at Disneyland, getting kicked in the nuts by little kids all day long. That's what Jeff Zucker is qualified for. He's a propagandist working for a propaganda outfit. I mean, don't take my word for it. Richard Stengel, who ran Time Magazine and is on the Council of Foreign Relations and has very close ties to all of these networks, has said when he worked for the Obama administration, he liked to call himself the chief propagandist and said propaganda isn't, I don't have a problem with propaganda. Well, Jeff Zucker doesn't have a problem with propaganda either. He has no problem going out and making up stories, instructing people to lie, to frame. Let's not say lie. Lie is such a strong word, right? Frame reality differently. Jeff Zucker wants his people to frame reality differently. And then he gets hit by Project Veritas and James O'Keefe, who, you know, look, to be fair, financed and trained by the Bannon camp. So I like what Project Veritas is doing. Ultimately, I don't love their ties to Bannon, but that's sort of, you know, we can have that conversation. But boy, they just came in there and put the wood to CNN with their undercover reports. You've got them saying, you've got technical directors on camera talking about you know, saying things like, you know, 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out. You have, he's saying things like, I think, you know, I'll give you the quote. Trump's hand was shaking or whatever, I think. We brought in so many medical people to tell a story that was all speculation, that he was neurologically damaged and he was losing it. He's unfit to, you know, whatever. We were creating a story there that we didn't know anything about. That's what, I think that's propaganda. We would always show shots of him, meaning Biden, jogging and that he's healthy, you know, and have him in aviator shades, like you paint him as a young geriatric. This is one of the guys that got busted on it by Project Veritas, the CNN guys talking about this. He said that our focus was to get Trump out of office. And I came to CNN because I wanted to be part of that. Congratulations, dickhead. You're a propagandist. Of course you are. You work at CNN. What else would you be? It's, you know, they're framing reality, right? As they would probably like to call it. We're framing reality differently. You know what CNN does? You know what CNN did during the pandemic? They took a shot. They put a camera on a tripod at a grocery store and aimed it down one of the aisles, not all the way down the aisle, but kind of at a little bit at an angle. So you could get maybe say the right side of that aisle, not the whole aisle. Maybe you'd get about a quarter of the way down the right side only just from the way the camera was set up. Then they took all of the food on the shelves there that was in that shot and they moved it. They moved it to a table back behind the camera and it's all piled up there. You've seen that picture, right? I mean, it's out there. The shot behind the shot of the shot. And what CNN showed you in that shot was, look at it. It's so crazy here that the shelves of this grocery store are bare. There's only like two cans left and they're all dented and shitty and nobody wants those. Meanwhile, all the food from that shelf was directly behind the camera, just piled up on a big table. That's CNN. That's who they are. That's what they think of you. They think you're too stupid to know the truth. They think that you wouldn't be able to handle it. They have so little respect for you that they do that as a matter of standard operating procedure. That is how they do it. The person that set up that shot won't get fired by Jeff Zucker. Hell, they may even get promoted. That's narrative building. That's bullshit manufacturing. That's manufacturing consent. Well, I guess there must be looting. I mean, I guess there must be a food run or something. It's disgusting, of course, but this is kind of what we get after the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 was passed, which legalized propaganda inside the United States to be used on Americans. And then you go, well, I'm sure they passed that law in order to use it, which they did. So I'm assuming they're using it. Where are they using it? Since, you know, it doesn't have to be labeled. It's not like CNN's like, okay, let's go to the segment on propaganda. No. They it's just all mixed in there. So you wonder where the propaganda is. It's not always, you know, life or death. Sometimes it's just about shaping reality. It's just about making you think one way or another. Now, the COVID narrative was all about fear. So anything you can do to the story to add fear to it, they're on board with. That's why they talk about multiple masks and you know, oh my God, look at this shot. Look, the grocery stores are getting cleaned out. Now the grocery stores weren't getting cleaned out. That should be good news, right? CNN should be like, hey, breaking news, The grocery stores are not getting wiped out. Supply chain is intact. We're a little short on toilet paper. We're working on it. But luckily, look at all this food. We're good. We're not Venezuela. They didn't do that. They faked it to make you think that everything was worse than it was, to scare you. Why would you ever give your attention to an operation like CNN who intends to scare you in order to keep you coming back for more? They're going to give you a solution to Brian Stelter is going to tell you what to do. Look, how can you trust a network that tries to say that Brian Stelter is 35 years old? Stop. They're obviously lying. He's 135 years old, at least. I don't know. It's not good for people to see this fear as like, it's not good to get addicted to this fear. You know, there's dopamine rushes that you get when you check Facebook or Twitter and you see that you have notifications. Not a big one, right? It's not like, you know, it's not like other things that could give you bigger dopamine rushes, but there's a science behind it. There's game theory tied to this. There's science and game theory and psychological manipulation and understanding of how the mind works and reward systems and all of these components baked into social media. Media is the same thing. The actual media is the same thing. I've talked about this before, but man, and who knows if you can even find it online anymore, but there was a video that I saw of like back when I was a kid, when it got to be really late at night, like 2 o'clock in the morning, the TV just went to, it just went off. It went to snow. And before it went to snow, the networks would all have their, like God Bless America, you know, they'd play the song and it would be this, you know, From Sea to Shining Sea. And there'd be like video of like bald eagles flying and flags waving and the Capitol building and all this shit, which frankly, if I think about it now, it was just overt propaganda. But at the time it was kind of like a way for them to signal, all right, day's over. We've got no more programming. You people aren't awake anyway. We're shutting the shit down and have a good night. And then it would go to snow. But the video of this particular signing off video with the song and everything had along the bottom of it, it had the words, you know, kind of, it was kind of like karaoke, you know, except you weren't singing, but the words kind of appeared like karaoke and they kind of, you know, folded over almost like a Wheel of Fortune. You know how they flip the letters around. It kind of did it in a quick way. Well, I saw this video where they took that and they slowed it down a bunch. And as those words, you know, as the previous two sentences that were on the screen faded away and switched over to the new words, that in between fraction of a second, as those letters were sort of changing, you could see a different message under there that said, trust your government. Trust the government. And I was like, holy shit. I'd always heard of subliminal messages. I know that they play them in grocery stores and things like that. In department stores, they have subliminal messages that say, buy, buy, don't steal, don't steal. I'd known about that since I was a kid. I'd never really like witnessed it, but I know I've heard about that. And so we have to be very careful about our about the relationship that we have with the media, because I mean that video showing the ending message and the letters changing and having it say trust your government, always trust your government and things like that. I don't remember the exact words, but I'm telling you it was crazy. That was going on like 50 years ago. I mean, this video that I saw was from like the early 70s or maybe even late 60s. It was a long time ago. So they've been using this to try and shape reality. through the mainstream media. And obviously it's totally disgusting, and we're starting to, you know, but we're calling this out. I'm calling it out on this show. Other people that I know that have shows are talking about this as well. I obviously don't have a monopoly on realizing that the things that we said early on that we were demonized for and said, you guys are conspiracy theorists. Well, guess what? There, a lot of them are coming true. And one of the things that I said was, expect an internet ID card at some point, we're going to have it. They want to know who you are and where you are online and what you're doing and what you're looking at and what you're thinking about and what you're talking about and who you're interacting with and what sort of plotting are you doing and how much, I mean, are you watching cooking videos and makeup tutorials, or are you plotting to overthrow the government? They want to know what you're up to. The Australian government is mulling a proposal that would require citizens to provide at least two forms of identification if they want to use social media. And here it comes. The totalitarian tiptoe. Problem, reaction, solution. Here we go. The incrementalization of removal of our rights through tiny little things like this, which aren't really so tiny. So under the guise of preventing online bullying, the Australian government's plan would require what they call 100 points of identification. I'll explain what that means in a second. In order to use Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and online dating platforms such as Tinder. So how they define 100 points, this 100 point plan of identification, it means that you need to combine Category 1 methods of identification with Category 2 methods. So Category 1 is birth certificate, passport, citizenship paper. You're going to need one of those, and you're going to need to marry that with Category 2, which is a valid government-issued license, public employee photo, photo ID, and or doctor's note. Okay, so this is where we're this is where we're going. So this is – I'm going to read something news.com.au. The recommendation, which has been raised before, is one of 88 recommendations from a parliamentary committee report looking at family, domestic, and sexual violence. In order to open or maintain an existing social media account, customers should be required by law to identify themselves to a platform using 100 points of identification, in the same way as a person must provide identification for a mobile phone account or to buy a mobile SIM card. It goes on to say that social media platforms, quote, must provide those identifying details when requested by the e-safety commissioner, law enforcement, or as directed by the court. So, we told you it was coming. Now, to be fair, this hasn't been passed yet, but you see where this is headed. Every crazy, well, maybe not every, a lot, let me rephrase that, a lot of the crazy conspiracy theories that we've been talking about, that David Icke has been talking about, even Alex Jones. Well, especially Alex Jones. You take a lot of heat when you start talking about those things too early. When you have the information well in advance and you start talking about it and people can't see that path, you know, it doesn't magically light up in front of them, the path to get you from where you are today to where this person is talking about. So they go, yeah, that doesn't sound realistic. Well, some people see the path better than others. In fact, I think how David has explained it in ways that make a lot of sense is that if you know the goal, you know the outcome, then you'll figure out the path. You just work backwards. So like as an example, you know they want to control the internet. You know that. I know that. They desperately want to know who you are. The thing about the internet that bothers the control freaks is the anonymity of it all. And I know that, you know, there's IP addresses and these things can get traced back and you can run VPNs to sort of throw them off the scent. But But for the most part, you are sort of anonymous online. And that can be liberating. It could put you in a situation where you're communicating with someone on one of these dating sites that isn't really who they say they're supposed to be. And then you go to meet up for drinks. And next thing you know, you're like, holy shit, you're the wrong person. You know, that's maybe not the most nefarious, just kind of annoying. But make no mistake about it. The state wants to know what you're doing online. Not for your safety, not to stamp out hate and inequality and bigotry and all that stuff. They don't give a shit about that. The state loves that stuff. They're the best at that. No, they want to know what you're doing online, because when you're a bloodthirsty, psychopathic entity like the state, you're constantly paranoid that your subjects are going to figure this out and rightly hang you for it. So they don't want you talking about things like pointing out what they're up to. They want to watch you. They want to watch who you're talking to. They want to remotely build a case against you in the event that they need it. That's what Snowden talked about. The retroactive going back through social media posts, through conversations that you've had online, through emails, through archived Skype conversations, whatever. They want it. They'll send it to Bluffdale, Utah, to the NSA's data collection facility, which they claim to have the capacity to retain all communications in the world in that building for the next 100 years. That's what they say. So, what do they plan to do with that? Send you Christmas cards or birthday cards? I don't think so. No. They want to follow you and track you. And if you start talking about the wrong types of things, you know, the things that, you know, like pointing out the crimes that they're committing, pointing out all of the wars that they plan to start, the manipulation of Wall Street, the manipulation of marketplaces. You start pointing that stuff out like we do kind of on a regular basis here. They're going to want to know who you are. They're going to want to make sure you're not saying those things. And Australia, God love the people of Australia are the fucking best. I swear. They're funny and they get it. And I love them. The government is maybe the worst. I mean, and that's saying something. We're talking about, well, let's say not the worst, but in consideration, top 10% for sure. For sure. Authoritarian dickheads abound. Scott Morrison is maybe the worst leader out there. Maybe Kim Jong-un has something to say about that. Bibi Netanyahu's on that list too. For sure. He's a horrible monster. But you're starting to see in Australia things trending on Twitter. Hashtag Soviet Scott. As Australians respond to radical authoritarian measures proposed by Morrison's government to limit access to social media. Hashtag Soviet Scott. That has a nice ring to it. But we were right about this. We were right about this coming, you know, the coming purge. We said that people were going to be thrown off social media for their beliefs. That's happening. We said it'll get to the point where they're going to require identification to get on these social media sites. Oh, it's much bigger than that. It will be required identification to access the internet through the internet ID card. Think it's only a pipe dream? Well, maybe a year ago you thought vaccine passports were as well. We were screaming, they're going to use this. They're going to tie the vaccines in. They're going to make it so that you can't travel. Oh, you conspiracy theorists with your crazy ideas about things. How about asking this question? How can we keep getting it right? Do we have a crystal ball? Or maybe just maybe, are we looking at a much bigger picture and understanding and recognizing the lies when we hear them? You see, the difference, I think, for a lot of people is that our default mechanism with regard to the dealing with the corporate media is set to distrust anything they say. I don't trust them when they tell me what the weather is going to be like or what the traffic looks like on the freeways. I believe that they are making it all up. They may be wrong about the traffic part. But my point is that when you come at their information from a place of automatic distrust and you start saying, what are they really saying? Or what are they not saying? That's almost as important as what they are saying. And they play these little games with words so that they can say, well, we didn't actually say, we just kind of implied that this may or may not be the case. We're good at recognizing that, reading between the lines, and then saying, no. When they say stuff like, when the government says, we would never make vaccine passports mandatory, the normie will go, oh, see, you conspiracy theorists were talking about how they were going to make vaccine passports mandatory, and they said they're not, and you're wrong, and I'm right. Oh, hang on a second. We never said that the government was going to make it mandatory. We just said that it would be mandatory. Guess who's making it mandatory? The corporations. Want to get on an airplane? Vaccine passport. Want to go to a baseball game? Vaccine passport. Want to go to a concert? What did I just see the Truthzilla guys posted? Eugene, Oregon. Here's the deal. Get the shot first. Then you can come to the concerts. Here's the deal. Go fuck yourself first and second. That's my response. We said it was coming. It's coming. They said we were crazy. They said we were unhinged. They said we were conspiracy theorists. They said we were anti-science. They said that we didn't understand what was actually happening. They said that we were married to our ideas, and that our ideas came from Reddit or from Q. I've never been on Reddit in my life. I've never followed Q. I didn't get any of my ideas from those two sources. I got my ideas from opening my eyeballs and from recognizing what the media and government says versus what they do. I don't take them at their word. Why would you? Well, Fauci said 3 more weeks and Fauci said this. Why are you listening? Why are you quoting Fauci to me? That's not an authority. That's a guy that doesn't. That's a guy that you're not supposed to listen to. And if you can't figure this out right now, I mean, it's like, it's so out in the open. We told you this was going to happen. I'm not going to be modest and go, oh, well, you know. No. I said this. Go listen to the past podcasts. Many people in this industry, in this line of work, or whatever you want to call it, have been saying the same things. To be ridiculed by their friends, to be told that they're conspiracy theorists by their families, to be called anti-science by their doctors, all of these things. We said the vaccine was dangerous. We said don't take a rush to market, experimental vaccine that hasn't cleared stage 3 trials on human beings. We said that. You said we were stupid. You said we were the problem and that we were dirty anti-vaxxers. What happened with the AstraZeneca jab? Pulled off the market in 20 countries. What happened to the Johnson & Johnson shot? Pulled off the market in America. Are we accidentally getting these things right? You know what's left? The only vaccines left are the mRNA vaccines. I don't know if that's, I don't know if Johnson & Johnson and AstraZeneca going away wasn't by design. We told you, and we're telling you about these other ones as well. How many times do you have to hear this stuff before it gets through? There's a dangerous agenda here. We have to be aware of this. It's our obligation and duty. If you have a brain that is functioning well and works and recognizes these things and see and can see through the bullshit, you're in a position that a lot of people are not in, apparently. And it seems normal for us. It seems obvious, and it doesn't seem like it requires much effort or training or whatever to recognize. And they're just everywhere. You see the lies everywhere. When you know, when you recognize the lies, then you look out into the media and you look to what the government's talking about and you look to what the think tanks are saying and you look to what academia is putting out. And you know how to spot the lies when you see them. You can see their lies are everywhere. It's a full court press. We said they would push the vaccine hard. We said they would do that. It would be a full court press. Celebrities, doctors, businesses, government, you name it, all on board with this. This is their big moment. This is the big push. We said they'd do it. And they did it. And it's not over yet. I would like for people to recognize this. Not because I get credit on some system for being right. I want people to recognize this because, and to be fair, it's not me. It's not just me being right. There's lots of people out there that are talking about this. I'm not trying to say that I'm the only person that's figured this out. Believe me, I'm not. We've been talking about how this was going to get rolled out, and then it gets rolled out the way we've been talking about it, and there's still a bunch of people saying, "Yeah, well, but, but Fauci is just," and then the excuses come. Hey, flu went from 38 million cases in 2019, 2020 to 1,700 cases in 2020, 2021. 38 million to 1,700 cases. What does that tell you? Well, we could have eradicated the flu. We didn't. Or maybe, just maybe, they've started to reclassify it as something different. We told you they were going to mess with the numbers. We told you that they were messing with the numbers. We were screaming, they are manipulating the numbers. What do they come out and say? CDC says, well, now we're counting COVID, flu, and pneumonia as one category. Ding, 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 ding. Right on schedule. That's what we said. We said they would mess with the numbers. They did. Maybe listen to us. Maybe just acknowledge that we know what the fuck we're talking about here. Oh, wow. It's crazy that these people are getting or dying from the AstraZeneca shot. No, it's not. No, it's not crazy at all. It's exactly right on schedule and totally predictable. That a rush to market vaccine isn't going to work well. Oh, it's amazing that that's so sad and so crazy. No, it's not sad. No, it's not any of those things. If you stood in line to get the AstraZeneca vaccine or any of these vaccines because you thought it was going to fix you, then you don't understand the science. Johnson & Johnson, you know, a company that put asbestos in the talcum powder for 6 decades, made a vaccine that it turned out harmful for people. Oh, who the fuck would have guessed that? They're convicted felons. We talked about this. They've paid out billions of dollars for fraud. We've talked about this. They've spent $4.2 billion to settle VAERS claims, Vaccine Adverse Effects Reporting System. Through their kangaroo court, their joke of a court, they've still paid $4.2 billion out. But CNN says vaccines are totally safe. One of the companies came out and said it was the CDC director who said, if you have the vaccine, you can't get COVID. It's a flat out lie. Arrest her for medical disinformation, right? Throw her off of social media. It's not going to happen. Because this is part of an agenda that we're figuring out. We're calling it as we see it. We're calling it well in advance. We're taking criticism from normies while we do it, but we do it anyway because we see what we see this. We can see it crystal clear, and they can't allow themselves to ever see this, because to admit that we were right and they were wrong about something like this is to admit that their entire worldview is flawed. Because they come from a universe where CNN tells the truth, Fauci would never lie, Joe Biden wants what's best for you, Donald Trump is your friend. They believe fairy tales. And they don't want to believe the truth. Because to know the truth would be to know that they were wrong and they're pot committed on this one. And they can't acknowledge that they're wrong. Up until the point where they're shuffling through the streets with Bell's palsy from the vaccines, never admitting, saying, must have been a coincidence. Don't know how I got this. Don't know how I got this weird, unique, unusual ailment that I came down with the day after I took the vaccine. Can't be the vaccine. And if you say it's the vaccine, you're anti-science. That's what they think. Just get in this boxcar. You're being resettled in the East. Don't worry. We'll take you back one day. Oh, well, guys, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't like the idea of getting in this boxcar. Oh, how dare you? They said we're being resettled in the East. What are you, a conspiracy theorist? Human beings in large numbers are dangerous. What James O'Keefe at Project Veritas has been doing for the last couple of years is pointing out how these news organizations actually work from the inside. They have immunity from this sort of thing. They're not getting class action lawsuits from people. They have protection. They have the Smith-Mundt Modernization Act of 2012 to protect them. You guys were lying to us about the vaccine. Hey, take it up with our boss. Take it up with Barack Obama, who passed this law. We're allowed to. See? It says right here. We never told you that this news was 100% truthful. We said we're the most trusted name in news, which is a slogan. There's no verification of that. You understand that, correct? We said that the riots are going to not be about, you know, it's going to take on much of, you know, a huge agenda behind these riots. Uh-oh, here we go with the looting. Not looting, mostly peaceful protesting. We have a new batch of riots in Minneapolis for another killing. And what did we see? The mayor came out onto the streets, talked to some of the people there. The headline said, mayor talks to peaceful protesters about the current situation. The mayor was wearing a helmet, a military helmet. I ask you, if it's peaceful protesting, why the helmet? Because it's not peaceful protesting. It's fucking rioting. That's what it is. It's rioting. Thus, the need for the helmet that the mayor was wearing. You understand? The news then takes that image and says, peaceful protests. right in front of your eyes. We said it was a shakedown operation with Black Lives Matter. We said that. It's not about the black community. They don't give a fuck about the black community. It's run by two Marxists that admit that and financed by Susan Rosenberg, who's a convicted terrorist for bombing federal buildings. These three people. We said these people are no good. They don't represent the black community. They're taking all this money and they haven't. What are they doing for the black community? Where are all the college scholarships? Where's all the stipends for people to help pay their electric bills in areas that have been hit hard by rioting? Where are you helping small black-owned business? You know what the headline in the newspaper was recently or online? One of the founders of BLM buying million-dollar mansions. We told you. I mean, I hate to say I told you so, but I told you so. These people are pathological liars. They're bad actors. They're not good people. The story that they're selling you is bullshit. It's a fake narrative to get us all fighting with each other. And when we point these things out, we either say this is going to happen or this is what happened. We are met with disgust by the average person. How dare we go against the prevailing winds? How dare we choose to challenge the narrative? You know, the real reason why they don't like this is because we out them as unthinking sheep, sheeple people, which they are, and they know it, and they don't want to think about that. I'm thinking of making a long list of the things that we said were going to happen and were told we were crazy and then watched as they happened almost exactly as we played them out. We're so good, we should be coordinating event 202, right? since we know it's going to happen in the future, these Bill and Melinda Gates and Johns Hopkins Medical Center, they should bring us in to run these scenarios since we can predict the future. Only we can't predict the future. Not really. We just know how these people think. And we can point it out in a way that that makes us look like Nostradamus, but we're not. We're just recognizing the direction that things are heading, understanding the psychopathic nature of how these organizations actually work, know that they will use deception in order to sell the narrative or to sell you an idea of the way the world really works, or that your currency is totally solid, or that Wall Street isn't completely rigged, or that the economy is great because Wall Street is at record numbers, and all these things, all these lies that they tell you. People sit around and go, I hear you saying this, CNN, that the economy's great, but I don't see it. And CNN continues to say, well, look at the Dow Jones. Look at the numbers. Did we tell you how much Jeff Bezos made? Obviously, the economy is great. What's the matter with you? Why won't you listen to us? Because there are some of us out there that are paying attention. And if you're not paying attention, you're going to fall into these narratives. You're going to get sucked in. You're going to go along with it, and you're going to become married to it, married to these ideas, these concepts. And then you're going to defend them because you've taken them in as one of your own. And that's fine to do. I'm not saying that there aren't two sides to some of these stories. I'm not saying that at all. But when you are willfully ignorant of the truth, because it doesn't fit your version of reality, then just admit that your version of reality isn't the truth. I mean, that's where you have to be. That's where you have to come from. Don't tell me that this is how things are. Tell me that this is how you want things to be, or that you how you've decided to view things. But don't tell me how things are. Not somebody that is getting all of their information from corporate news, or somebody that they heard on Twitter or Instagram. And please don't embarrass yourself by telling me to get a vaccine because Cardi B wants you to. Cardi, because you saw a Run DMC cartoon that said, yo, 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 homie, better get our vaccines on. Know what I'm saying? Man, I'll tell you, if I was in the black community, I would be so offended that they think all it takes to get the black community on board is just get some rappers and some cartoons and then speak a little street lingo. And the next thing you know, we're all good. How insulting. Dude, the black community knows what's up more so than the white community with regard to vaccinations and things like that. Unwanted, untested medical treatments. The black community is like, no, thank you. We'll pass. They're like, what is the problem with all this vaccine hesitancy? Tuskegee? But of course, they know that. And that was written in the SPARS document. Talking about there will be hesitancy from the black community because of the Tuskegee. So get out in front of it and mention Tuskegee first so as to, you know, no sense defusing a bomb after it's already gone off. They say, yeah, yeah, Tuskegee was awful and they did all that stuff. But we don't do that anymore. We come at this from a different, we're inclusive. Be very careful when they talk about inclusivity with regard to medical experiments like vaccines. These people do not want you to, they're not inclusive. Is Bill Gates inviting the black community to come hang out at his place? No, he is not. He doesn't give a shit about them. There's no inclusivity here. Be very careful when you hear the word stakeholders too. That's another euphemism. That's code for the elite are the stakeholders. We are not. They'll have you believe that you are, but you are not. This is how they play with words. Look, we've got, it's a wonder that we recognize any of this. It's amazing that we're able to figure out the lies and sort this out because we have professional disinformation agents working hard against us. We have a variety of factors that are aimed against us. Social inclusion, things like, you know, wanting to go along with the herd, wanting to be accepted. It's easier to do that, you know, to be somebody like us, you know, people that kind of put their middle finger up at the state and to the status quo and to these things. We do so with a tremendous cost. And I think we, if we don't know that already, well, you'll figure it out soon enough. It's easier to walk amongst the masses and be part of the group and be kind of left alone in a sense. It's much more difficult to be out on your own, to be the person that's swimming upstream, watching everybody walk by you and they're looking at you going, you're so dumb, and you're looking at them going, I know something you don't know. Trust in yourself. Believe yourself. The information that you've come across, the shows that you listen to or watch, the books that you read, the articles that you're into, you're working off of different source material than everybody else. So of course they're going to think that you're crazy. They're not reading the things you're reading. They're not listening to the things that you're listening to. They think Wolf Blitzer is giving you the goods. He's not. They think Anderson Cooper is being straight with you. He's not. They think Rachel Maddow gives a shit about you. She doesn't. It's all theater. You're working off of a different source of information that will benefit you, but you have to trust in it. You have to trust that you have found something that nobody else. I mean, if you're waiting for CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or any of these mainstream organizations, BBC, to tell you how to think and that you were, you know, you're going to be waiting a long, long time. If you're waiting for them to say, you know, we were wrong this whole time, you were right, you're never going to get that. You're just going to have to trust yourself. You're going to have to believe in yourself. You're going to have to feel that, to be confident in your decision-making abilities. And that's tough. When everybody's telling you you're wrong and everybody's telling you you're stupid and everybody is telling you that you've got to trust the science, and they're getting angry about it and they're saying, you're contributing to this and I won't let my kids play with your kids and I won't let you into this stadium because you're disease-ridden. It's like, yo, you've got it entirely backwards, my man. I didn't inject myself with an experimental rush-to-market vaccine. You did. You're in no position to lecture me about health, not even a little bit. And we have to have that confidence. We have to come at this from a position of strength. It takes practice, and it's tough to do early on because there's a little doubt in the back of your head. Well, what if these people are right? I mean, how do I know if I figured this out right? Well, do your homework. It's not easy. Take the things that I've said and dig into it yourself. Don't take my word for it. I have my thoughts. I believe them to be correct. I'll admit if I'm wrong about things, and of course I will be wrong about many, many things. But I'm right about this. And you're right about this. You see this. Trust what you see. Trust how you feel. Trust the vibe you're getting. Feels like they're overselling this whole COVID narrative. You're right. Does feel that way. Why do you suppose that is? Well, I don't know. Maybe because it's not as organic or not as real as they're making it out to be. Go with that. Keep going. You're on the right track. But if you're waiting for someone to tell you, good job, you figured it out, your options are going to be pretty limited. If you like this show, if you like this channel in general, subscribe. Give me a comment if you can, if you have the time. For whatever reasons, the algorithms like that. They don't like us, but they like it when people subscribe and they like it when people rate the show. I certainly hope you take this information, incorporate it into the way you see the world, and get out there and start making things better. Thanks, everybody.